Mark 6, we're going to finish up chapter 6 today by looking at verses 45 through 56. Mark 6, 45 through 56. We'll read that in just a few minutes together. I once heard that if you could kick the person that was responsible for most of your troubles in the backside, you wouldn't be able to sit down for 2 weeks. Catch that? You know, our passage this morning finds the disciples in trouble once again. And I don't think it was their fault necessarily, but they were in trouble nonetheless. And, you know, the presence of trouble doesn't mean that we're working against God's purposes or that it's even His will for us to be in trouble. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't notice what's going on in our lives, because we can be certain of His help. He's always there. He always sees. In desperate moments, we may feel that Christ is passing us by, and we recognize our helplessness, we're ready to receive His help. But even when our trust is not so good and we're not trusting in the right things, we're not trusting in the Lord, obviously, our trust is inadequate, Christ always comes to our aid, because He is trustworthy, amen? And so we have to guard against having hardened hearts. We're going to be talking about that with the disciples, and we understand that stubborn refusal to believe in Christ's presence, and when we refuse to believe in His power, that leaves us fearful. It leaves us floundering in the wind, just like the disciples. So let's read the scripture, let's get into it, then I want to talk about four aspects of Jesus' character here that I see here in the scripture. But let's read first Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. Immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. After He said goodbye to them, He went away to the mountain to pray, and well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So very early in the morning, He came toward them, walking on the sea, and wanted to pass by them. When they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw Him, and they were terrified. Immediately He spoke with them, and He said, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over to the shore and came to the shore at Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And as they got out of the boat, people immediately recognized Him. They hurried throughout the region and began to carry the sick on mats to wherever they heard He was. Wherever He went, into the villages, towns, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged Him that He might touch them just the end of His robe. And everyone who touched it was healed. And may God add His blessing to the reading of His word. So there's four aspects about Jesus' character, which is also God's character, that I really want to bring out from the scripture today. Maybe some things that we don't often think about when we think about this story. And the first thing I want us to notice here is Jesus' vision, here in the first part of the passage, verses 45 through the first part of 48. Mark says that Jesus told the disciples, immediately get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side of Bethsaida. In fact, Mark says He made them go. He made them go. So why did Jesus make them go? Okay, why did He pretty much tell them, this is what you're going to do, and I want you to listen to me, this is what you're going to do. He made them go, and I suppose it was to teach them another valuable lesson in faith. After all they'd been through, after all they'd seen, they still need to learn some things about faith and trust in Him. And so, again, Mark says, even after they'd witnessed the miracle of Jesus just previous to this, feeding all those thousands of people with just a few loaves and fish, they still didn't quite understand everything And he talks about that in verses 51 and 52. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But like earlier, much like earlier, when Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side of the sea, in this same instance here, they faced difficulty. Now this time, it doesn't seem like it was as bad as before with the storm and all, but nevertheless, the disciples ran into some strong winds, which caused them difficulty in rowing the boat. Now, some versions of the Bible say that they were being battered by the wind. So I think this wind was pretty strong. It was apparently just keeping them, and they were struggling through it through the night as they rowed their boat. And so they found themselves once again in trouble. They were in a difficult spot. But again, I think this was Jesus' plan due to, again, what's mentioned in verses 51 and 52. We'll get to more of that later. Now, during this time, we see that Jesus had gone up into the mountains to pray, and that prayer is always good, and there's a whole other sermon that could be preached on that aspect, and I think we all understand it. But I want to get to some of these other things. Jesus is praying, which is good, and Mark says, as he's praying, he literally sees them straining with their oars. Now, I want to stop there just a minute and look at this because I think this is important to understand here. Now, remember, all this was happening as darkness has come over them, okay? How in the world did Jesus see them in the darkness? Now, the reason I say that is this. The Sea of Galilee is about 4 miles across. And Mark says the disciples were at the middle of the sea. So this means, if my math is correct, they were about 2 miles in, right? They were about 2 miles in. Now, if it were a clear day and you were kind of at an elevated spot, you might be able to see a small boat on the lake from two miles away. But at nighttime, and this wind is blowing, with no lighting, with the winds blowing like crazy, I don't think there's any chance you'd be able to see anything from that distance. But we know that Jesus saw them. Amen? He saw them. He saw what they were going through. And whether it was by a miracle that he actually saw them, or if God allowed him somehow to see them at this point, he saw them. We don't know exactly how he saw them, but he saw them. He knew what was going on in their time of difficulty. And as I think about this story and Jesus seeing the disciples in their time of trouble, you know, stories like this and other ones that we've already talked about should bring us a lot of comfort. Because here's the thing, guys, and if we want to get to really some important things that we need to understand from the Scripture, is we are never in a place where God cannot see us. Now, sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes maybe that's a bad thing, but that God always sees us. We are never in a place where God cannot see us. You might think that you are in the middle of nowhere, like Iowa. You might think that you're in the middle of nowhere where nobody can see, straining with all your might, but nobody can see you. But I'm here to tell you, God sees you. He always sees you. And the Bible is chock full of verses that talk about this. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of Yahweh roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his." Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good." Hebrews 4:13, "No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account." So God sees everything, the wicked and those who are good. He sees everything throughout the earth. And the God who can see all and knows all allowed Jesus to see the disciples when they were struggling. And guys, in the same way, he sees us too. You know, we're never assured an easy road in life. I mean, that is just true. We're never assured an easy road as followers of Christ. In fact, just the opposite is typically what happens in our lives. With all the persecution going on today, just the opposite happens many times. We're not assured an easy road. But through it all, Jesus sees, and he usually has a plan for it. And we learn about his plan in the next few verses, where we're going to talk about Jesus, which is actually God's glory, Jesus' glory in verses 48 through 50. After Jesus sees the disciples Mark says that he came toward them walking on the sea, and he wanted to pass by them. Did you notice that? He wanted to pass by them. And at first take, you might think, why did Jesus want to pass by them? I mean, I thought he's supposed to be going out there to help. Well, he was, but in a way that they didn't quite understand. When you understand this phrase, you'll see what Mark was getting at. And to understand this phrase, we have to go back to the Old Testament. This is the same phrase that's used in Exodus 33 when Moses wanted to see the glory of God. In verses 20 through 22, it says, "But he answered, 'You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live.' The Lord said, 'Here is a place near me. You are to stand on the rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by.'" And then if you read another passage in 1 Kings 19:11, we see the same thing in God's encounter with Elijah. It says, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence.' At that moment, the Lord passed by." And so we see the Lord pass by Moses at Sinai. He passed by Elijah at Horeb. And why is this significant in our passage this morning? Because Jesus wanted his disciples to know who he really was. He wanted them to understand at last who he really was. After they'd seen all the miracles, after they'd seen all the things that they had seen with their own eyes, this last moment, he wanted them to understand truly who he was. And I think the God of the Old Testament, who is Jesus, wanted to pass them by so they might see his glory and believe in who he was. That's why he wanted to pass by. Because here's the thing, only God can walk on water. And Jesus is showing them without any question that he is truly God. Now, unfortunately, the disciples missed it, right? They thought he was a ghost. And in their defense, I think we would probably all think the same thing. Obviously, this is not something you're used to seeing, someone walking on the water in the middle of the night. I'd be scared too, with every fiber of my being. And you guys understand what scared I'm talking about. When it's just like, just grips you from head to foot, I would be scared in that moment. Because they didn't expect to see anyone walking on water. And this leads me to a question though. And this is for us. It was for the disciples, but really it's for us today. Why don't we expect to see Jesus when we're in trouble? I mean, many times we think just the opposite. He's not going to show up. You know, something like that. Why don't we expect to see Jesus when we're in trouble? I mean, why didn't the disciples of all people expect to see Jesus? He'd already calmed the storm earlier. They'd seen him feed thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They had seen him do lots of other miracles. But you know what? As much as we chide the disciples, the same is true for us. We have seen firsthand, we have knowledge in our heads, we have memories of God intervening in our lives time and time and time again, and still we don't expect him to show up when we're having times of difficulty. And so we're no different from the disciples. And here's the thing, we put our faith in so many other things rather than Jesus. When we face a crisis, a difficult situation, what's the first thing we normally do? We worry. This would be honest. We worry. We try to figure it out on our own. We try to find the answer on YouTube, perhaps. I mean, you can get a free education on YouTube if you're looking at the right things, okay? We try to figure out all this stuff on our own, and many times what we do is we pray last. We pray later. As a last-ditch effort, we look to other things that are flawed instead of looking to Jesus first. And guys, here's the thing. Whenever we expect not to see Jesus, we probably won't see him. We're probably not going to see him. Even when Jesus had come through in the past, even when we remember all these things that Jesus has done for us, we still don't look for him. We look to others first. And many times Jesus is last on our list, but he wants to pass by us. He wants us to see the glory of God in all things. He wants us to, and what that means is, you think, well, what's the glory of God? Well, he wants us to truly know all about him, all of his attributes. He wants us to know about his strength and his power. He wants us to know him fully. That's the glory of God. And I think that was the plan all along here for Jesus. He wanted the disciples to see, I am God. I want you to see the glory of God in my life. And we see that next as we think about Jesus' power in verses 50 through 52. Again, Jesus saw the struggle that the disciples were having. But I want you to notice the scripture once again and just looking at it, and I missed this before. I've read this story a lot of times, and I missed this. But it finally came to me. When did Jesus actually see them for the first time? In verse 47, my version says, well into the night. But if you look at other versions, it literally means when evening came. So it's earlier in the evening. And evening in that time, when you talk about evening, evening marked the passing from daylight to darkness. So it had just turned dark in the evening. So I want you to notice here, Jesus saw the disciples struggling earlier in the evening, but he didn't come to them until early the next morning. Did you catch that? Most people believe that it was about the fourth watch, which was from the hours of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So the disciples had pretty much been struggling all night long when Jesus finally came and walked on the water toward them about 3 in the morning. And I don't know, as I think about this, these guys have been struggling all night. They've been going at it all night. I don't know why God sometimes allows us to go through such difficult times, why he lets us stay there for a while. But I do know that God uses our times of trial to teach us, to train us, to develop our faith, or perhaps some other reason. There's a purpose in it. It's not because he's mean or he doesn't care. It's because he has a purpose that is greater than we can even imagine. We only see what we're going through right now. We don't see the end result or the end of it. We only see what's in front of our face. But God sees the big picture. And so Jesus didn't come for a while. He let him struggle for a while. And there was a reason for that. And again, Mark tells the disciples, they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, what? Their hearts were hardened. Jesus knew that. I guess they still needed to learn some things. That's why he let them flounder out there for a while. They still needed to learn some things. However, when the time was right, Jesus showed up and he showed his power. Amen? Once again, they were afraid, but when Jesus' presence and power calmed the wind, calmed their fears as well. And you know, you think about our lives. I mean, things happen in our lives. Things are calm one minute, and then storms come immediately, unexpectedly. When we're going through a crisis and difficulty comes, we need to think back at stories like this and have faith that Jesus will arrive on the scene. Now, sometimes he arrives after the fact. Sometimes he arrives after the difficult stuff has already passed by. And even, guys, if it's not the way that we expect or the way that we want, he wants to show his power in the times of difficulty that we face. And I would venture to say he will tell us the same thing that he told the disciples. What did he tell them? Guys, have courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Have courage. It's eyes. I'm not a ghost. This is me. You know me. It's me. Have courage. And Jesus showed his power in the disciples' lives once again. And he will show his power in our lives if we'll allow him to. The final thing that I want us to notice is Jesus' compassion. Sorry, I got to get a drink. It's just water. Mouth is very dry today. Jesus' compassion, we see this in verses 53 through 56. Sometimes people want to leave off this part, but I think it goes well with already been what's been going on here in the story. We see the compassion of Jesus here in verses 53 through 56. But I want you to notice something. Where does the boat land? Where did Jesus originally say to go? He said to go to Bethsaida, right? But where does the boat finally come to a landing spot? In the lands, it lands in the area of Gennesaret. I want you to know that those two places are not the same place. This is not the same place that Jesus told the disciples to go to earlier, which was Bethsaida. Things changed literally overnight. The disciples thought they were going one place and they ended up at another. Well, I think there's something we need to learn from this, and that shows us that we need to be flexible when it comes to God's will for our lives. I think flexibility is something that we have difficulty with sometimes. Especially when we get older. And I can say that because I'm getting older. Okay? What happens when we get older? Here's what happens. This is what's happening to me. Okay? So I'm sharing with you firsthand knowledge of what's going on in my life. And I can only imagine that it's going in everybody else's life who is getting older as time goes on. What happens when we get older is our world becomes very small. Our world becomes very small. We're not as flexible as we used to be. I don't know why. I don't know why that is, but it just happens. We focus on things and we get caught up on things that aren't important. And change becomes difficult. I don't know if it's because we think we're losing control or it's not the way that I want it to be or I'm not comfortable with that, but it just happens. And we become very inflexible. It's got to be this way and this way and this way because this is what I'm used to, this is what I'm comfortable with, and if it's not that way, then I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm telling you, that's what happens to me. I have to fight against it. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to grow old. Maybe I do need to grow up. I don't want to grow old and become a crabby old man. I don't want to be that guy. We have to be flexible. I mean, at the food pantry, if I've learned anything, you got to be flexible down there because literally things can change on the minute. You think you got a plan, this is what we're going to give out today, and all of a sudden, all that bread's molded and you got to do something else, you know? Or you thought you were going to give out this meat and it's not there anymore, so you got to figure out something else. Or you have in mind that you're going to give out this one thing, and then they bring in on the trucks and the cars and the deliveries. It's not what you thought you were going to get. I thought I was going to get 40 cases of meat. I only got 7. And so you have to be flexible, and it's difficult. Things change sometimes, and we have to be ready for it. We have to be flexible when it comes to God's will for our lives. So why did God change the course here? Because Jesus was wrong? No, I don't think he was wrong. I think there was a purpose in it. But here, as they got to Gennesaret, if I'm pronouncing that right, what do we see here? We see more hurting people. We see people who need a touch from Jesus. More people. Remember when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd? More of the same here. These people needed a touch from Jesus. They were broken. And not only that, these people, even though the disciples didn't recognize Jesus and didn't maybe expect him to be there, these people, even though they weren't followers of Christ probably at that point, they at least recognized the power of Jesus, even when the disciples didn't. And people from the whole region brought their loved ones to Jesus. And once again, we see the compassion of Jesus healing them and touching them and helping them in their time of need. And guys, you know, as you think about our lives, we should always recognize the compassion of Jesus. We should always recognize the compassion of Jesus. We should be like the people in this passage. Each morning, we should meet Jesus at the boat and give him all of our hurts. This is what I'm going through. This is what I've done. This is what I'm doing that I'm ashamed of. And give it to him. And the promise is he will love us and heal us and forgive us and give us a second chance or a third or a fourth or a fifth or whatever. So we should be like this crowd. Go to Jesus in the morning at the boat, give him our hurts, and then we have another responsibility to go throughout the whole countryside and bring others to him. Because Jesus is the one that can completely heal and save. Amen. He's the one that can completely heal and save. We see four aspects of Jesus' character here. But I think the bottom line is Jesus wanted his disciples to know his glory and who he was. And he showed up and he did it. And I believe they began to figure things out at that point. You know, a lot of us have recently, a lot of you have been following the news about this tragic flooding that's going on down in Texas. And these stories are just heartbreaking. And I think about what has happened at that girls' camp, that Christian camp down there in Texas. It's hard to understand why things like this happen. It's hard to understand why difficulty like this happened. It's easy to say, in the middle of this, where are you, God, when young girls are being literally swept away in a flood? And I asked that question yesterday. I was talking about it with Leslie. You read stories like this, and Jesus intervened, and he helped. You read stories like Jesus coming and calming the storm previously. You think about Jesus coming and healing or feeding thousands of people. And then you look at a situation like this and say, God, where are you in this thing? And it's hard to understand where God is, especially when we read stories like this. But if you look deeper at the story, if you look very deep into the story, I'm reminded that Jesus loves us more than we love ourselves. Which is hard to imagine because we love ourselves a lot. He's more compassionate than we give him credit for. And he is faithful even when it seems like he's nowhere to be seen. And why do I say all this? Because you think about our overall knowledge of who Jesus is. Our greatest knowledge of all this stuff that we've been talking about today, it comes from what we already know about him. What do we know? He allowed his body to be broken so that we can be saved. He walked a stormy path to the cross so that we might be rescued. And through the touch of his hands that were nailed to the cross, we have been forever healed of sin and been made well eternally. That's how we can know that Jesus loves us more than we love ourselves. That's how we can know that his power will show up even when we think that he's not anywhere to be seen. Because he rescued us. He saved us from our brokenness. He healed us of our sin. And that is for eternity. And let us always remember that. And in the moment we want to question God, where are you? You think about what he's already done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. He's done so much. And that we can be thankful for. This morning, maybe you need to, for the very first time, put your faith and trust in Jesus. And say, well, Pastor, that's all great, and I appreciate that story, but Here's the thing, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're missing out on that compassion and love and power. And Jesus wants to come into your life and radically change you today. And if you want to put your faith and trust in Him for the very first time, here's what you need to do. Number one, admit you're a sinner. That's for your own benefit. I have sinned in my life. You have sinned. We all sin. We continue to sin. We continue to mess up. We continue to make mistakes. Well, after the fact of becoming a follower of Christ, we still do it, and we have to admit that. I am a broken and flawed person. And then ask forgiveness and turn away from our sin. And the promise is He will forgive. And you have to believe in what Jesus did for us. He died, He was buried, He rose again. That's the gospel. Very concise and to a point. He died, He was buried, He rose again. That's the gospel. And to commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe you need to do that today. Andrew's going to come lead us in a song of commitment in just a minute. As he does, you can say a simple prayer of faith right where you are to make that commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you forgiveness. I want to turn away from that. I believe in what you've done for me. I know that you died, you were buried, you rose again. Today I commit my life to you as my Savior and Lord. If you need help with that, I'll be here at the front. I'd be glad to walk you through that. We can meet sometime later on. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. I'll be here at the front ready to pray with you. But guys, let us know so that we can help you. Fill out the Connect card in front of you. Put it in the offering box when you leave, or go online and connect with us that way. Fill out that. It comes to me. We can connect later and help you in your spiritual journey. But if you need some spiritual assistance, tell someone. Reach out so that we can help you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love and grace, your strength and power that we see so evident here in this story. And Father, some of us today just need a touch of your glory. We need to be reminded of all your attributes, your power and your love and your strength and your grace. Everything that makes up who you are, Lord, we need to experience that today. Some for the very first time. And so, Father, today our prayer is that you would have your way in us. And Lord, whatever it is we're dealing with in our lives right now, Father, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might get right with you. Father, again, have your way in us now.